This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. And for our next story, it's based on a headline that came out of Free Malaysia today. Putrajaya urged to campaign against race politics. Now, we kind of wanted to talk about this because we've noticed that in our conversations here and the stories that we cover on the evening edition, there has been a recent kind of very strong skew towards stories that are really quite racial in nature.
Yeah, so of course, we first started out by not ratifying the ICERT after much pushback. We also saw the canteen cases back in Malacca. And then we also see, well, it's not racial, but it was at first said to be racial, the protests that were happening at the temple in Subang Jaya. Now also, because December 8th is a major date for us apparently, we will now have two rallies instead of one. The first one by PAS and UMNO of an unknown theme and nature through, although yesterday Tajuddin Abdul Rahman said that they will paint the town white. Now this Saturday, Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad is also having a rally of his own. He's scheduled to launch the Human Rights Commission's Human Rights Day 20 event this Saturday morning in Petaling Jaya.
So, and all this has had social and political activist Haris Ibrahim urging the government to go on a media campaign in order to counter the ploys of those that he sees playing up racial and religious issues for political ends. And we're going to head straight to the source of those suggestions. Joining us on the line, as I mentioned, social and political activist Haris Ibrahim, who was part of movements like Saya Anak Bangsa Malaysia, as well as Abu Asalkan Bukan UMNO. Haris, thanks for joining us on the show. Let's start with this. Does the government have control over, you know, this narrative of racism that other parties might have been known to play up?
Let's go back some years. You'll recall a time when Jamal Yunus of the Ikan Bakar fame was at liberty to say whatever he wished, however racist it was, however inflammatory it was, with total impunity. Now, what it suggested to you was the government of the day was giving him carte blanche to say what he will. Today, we have a government of the day that can actually do the reverse. We can contain such inflammatory speeches if we put in place an anti-hate speech, you know, built into a Race Relations Act. The BN government had its BTN, Biro Tata Negara, which continued year in, year out to sow, particularly in the minds of the civil servants, the Malay civil servants, the notion of Ketuanan Melayu. They were, again, in control of the narrative. Now, the government today can actually undo that. BTN can be dismantled and in its place, a vehicle, if you will, that will actually go down to the civil servants. And now to explain that in reality, if you understand what is in the Constitution, Article 153, the background to Article 153, the Reid Commission report, special position was never intended to be forever, that the civil servants, in fact, need to work in cohesion with the government in order to uplift certain categories of the populace to level the playing field. So your question, does the government have control? Certainly, it can. If the Pakatan Harapan government is pitching to us the notion that they are all for moving away from race and one of perhaps a more egalitarian society, then they have it within their means to dictate that narrative.
So the next question I'll be asking, and depending on your answer, will either stress or soothe us. How are race relations in Malaysia right now, in your opinion?
Well, for some time now, I've always maintained that on the ground, people get on well. Especially if you go to the rural areas, for instance, they've lived together for practically all their lives. I remember an experience I had in Perak, in South, where you have a Chinese rubber smallholder, a Malay rubber smallholder, going up together at 4 o'clock in the morning on their motorbikes to tap rubber together. They actually cover each other's backs. But at 6 o'clock, both of them would stop, come down, because the Malay guy has to go for his mayang. Chinese guy would wait for him at the thosai stall. And when the Malay guy finishes, he comes and joins him together with the stall owner. And they're all having their breakfast together. And Ali opens the newspaper, and there he reads in Utusan front, you know, headlines, Ha, Melayu tercabar. And the question that he asks is, apa hal ni? And the response, you tahu lah orang pekan, orang bandar. So I don't think it has ever really impacted relations between people. But it's had the desired effect that UMNO wanted. All UMNO wanted was for Ali to have in his mind that come next GE, give the vote to UMNO. Understand this, and this is my view. I think many hold this view. For a long time, this nation was so badly mismanaged that in the name of membasmikan kemiskinan, eradication of poverty, politicians in high office have helped themselves to the very, very grants that were intended to reach the most disenfranchised. People have continued to live in poverty, living the politicians living off a poverty eradication program. People have not been aware of this. The leaders have been aware of this. Understand that the government prior to the current one have always understood this. They never wanted a nation in flames because a nation in flames meant there was nothing for them to rob. They needed to just have one particular community, the Malay community, a little concerned that this notion of hak istimewa, and a lot of Malays don't quite understand that. Huh? I recall when I was still living in Pahang and I went down to the farmlands and I asked a couple of farmers, have they heard of Dasar Ekonomi Baru, the new economic policy? And the response was like, what on earth is that? And when it was explained to them, what their response was, oh, I get 2 bags of fertilizer a year. And that, for him, is the sum total of special rights of Malays.
So then, when there is this talk of defending that special position or defending special positions, what exactly is it that, you know, this man on the ground is being told to protect?
So, to the question of what is special position? Special position is simply this position, unique in that the British left us with a nation largely divided in terms of vocation. Malays were paddy fields, the Indians were working the rubber estates, the Chinese were the entrepreneurs in the business. The intention of the new economic policy was to gradually do away with this demarcation. The reality is this. This country is divided between two big groups, the haves and the have-nots, the elite and the rest of us who struggle to eke a decent living. I think it was at the Harvard Club in 2000 that Mahathir said that this truth was tweaked a little to move away from the haves and the have-nots and to pitch it as the Malays and the rest. And that's something that's continued from 1972 to the present day. Special position, it's not rights. If it was rights, the Malays go to the court and enforce it. It's not a right. It's a position. It's a duty placed on the AGO to make sure the policies framed on the new economic policy are fair to all. It is intended to be reviewed. The reason why it has never been reviewed is it's never been really implemented. There's been no economic policy to eradicate poverty that has ever been genuinely put into place. Every single plan has essentially been hijacked by politicians up to now. That is why the poor have gotten poorer.
You've suggested that a concerted campaign by the government is needed to do away with ingrained notions of racial polarization. What would that campaign look like?
All right. Now, you see, what's happening now is this. Mahathir went to the United Nations and said we would ratify ICERD. Personally, I think that statement lacked wisdom for this reason. UMNO and now PAS, UMNO in particular, have only known one way to play politics in this country, and that is trump up race or play up religion. Of course, it was also money politics, but all the money that they had now, apparently, they can't get their hands on. So the only thing that's left to them is race, religion. Now, you take that away and they've got nothing. Notice how when Mahathir said ICERD would be ratified, they went to town. Any talk now about dismantling the special position is literally giving UMNO the ammunition it needs. My thinking is this, the government should launch on a two-pronged approach if we really want to slowly remove the kind of racism we've seen over the years. First, you come up with an affirmative program that is not race-based but needs-based. You ensure that that program is not put in the hands of politicians but is put in the hands of respected members of the citizenry, if you will, who will be as inclusive as possible in crafting the affirmative program. Now, observe here that going by the largest numbers in the country, the main benefactors will be Malays anyway. But it will not be race-based, and that means we're helping across the board. That's number one, first prong. Second prong, what the government needs to do is embark on a campaign of information to the people on the ground. Now, this should actually be bipartisan. Pakatan should be inviting people from both sides of the divide. You put together a working committee. There are politicians in BN who today will acknowledge that for a long time they survived in politics because of the race-based politics. Now, if MCA thinks it's time for us to move forward, if there are people in UMNO who think it's time for us to move forward, to not be trapped in this race game, Pakatan Harapan should invite them, bring them on board, and let's go down to the rakyat, the Malays in particular, and tell them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But you tell them this truth, even as the poorest population, Malay, Indian, Chinese, Iban, Kadazan, Burut, are being uplifted. Now, you take the wind out of UMNO's past sails in wanting to agitate this fear. Now, number one. Number two, UMNO's biggest tool was a mainstream media, Utusan. I'll give you a simple example. Ibrahim Ali would deliver a racist speech in PWTC, but it's only confined to those in PWTC. Tomorrow, Utusan Malaysia, TV3, RTM, takes it into the homes of every Malay, particularly in the heartlands. Mainstream media were the main racist tools that UMNO and BN had at its disposal. Today, TV stations, the radio stations that are within the control of the government should be utilized not for propaganda, but you carry messages, and which is why it shouldn't just come from the government. It should come from opposition, get members of civil society, get members of NGOs. They could be Malay, they could be Chinese, they could be Indians, it doesn't really matter. These are Malaysians stepping forward to tell the narrative of really what has happened over the last 40 years. And in a nutshell, what has happened in the last 40 years? Malays have been told that Hak Istimewa Orang Melayu, UMNO will defend that right. In reality, what UMNO has done is in contending they are defending that right, they have robbed the Malays blind. This is the truth that must be taken down to the people on the ground.
And I mean, for the media, I suppose, we now have freer rein to explore and report from all both sides of the divide. By virtue of reporting what politicians say or do, for example, the anti-ISED rally, does that continue to feed into the perception that there is a racial divide in the country?
Well, okay, perception is 80% of any game. Like it or not, media plays a major role. I talked about how the media would previously take a message largely confined to PWTC out into the homes. So the media's role is significant. It's huge. It's huge. It shapes perceptions. I can only share this with you in 2011 when I was still running ABU. As you know, ABU job done. So for now, at least, we moved away from it. But in 2011, we came up with a documentary. We did about 250,000 copies for distribution. But before we went into that large production, we did about 300 copies, and we went down to Chemur in Perak. We distributed in order to test market sentiment. Now, what was in that video, after deliberation through the committee, we decided this. The average Pak Ali in the kampung is not deprived of common sense. He's got as much common sense as Ali in Wangsa Maju. What he's deprived of is unadulterated truth. If you give the average man the unadulterated truth, he will come to the average same commonsensical conclusion. The media needs to play that role. You talk about the rally that's being touted for the 8th. By all means, report. But I think the media today must play its critical role of presenting honest reporting. You want to present the views of PAS, and I think there should not be censorship. If PAS has a point of view, UMNO has a point of view, if rally goers have a point of view, by all means report it, but let it be balanced reporting.
Harris, thank you so much for those insights. That was social and political activist Harris Ibrahim. If you would like to see the government sort of take a concerted effort to come out against statements that seem to be trying to play off of racial sentiments within the country, let us know. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Ivan tweeted us earlier saying the diversity in Malaysia should be put to positive use as opposed to issues in terms of posing issues that better the nation, it's our diversity in people and opinions that are important, as it offers a wider scale of knowledge, experience and opinion. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.